When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Well, that's hit him on the helmet. Another helmet has been hit. All three Australian batsmen have now been hit.
Archer in, right arm over the little bit of wicket. It's racked on by Kale Rahul. Archer has the first wicket of the series.
Here is Wood.
And look at him! Yeah! Straight through the number 11. Middle stump Yorker. Mark Wood has five.
In this innings, Mark Wood has become the fastest bowler in England history when you look at average speeds.
What we want to ask here is, can you learn how to bowl fast? So I'm going to start with you, Harmy. I reckon you might have the fastest top speed of the three gentlemen in the room, although Goffey will be, you know, hitting me in a minute to tell me I'm wrong. Do you think you can learn to bowl fast, or do you think it is a natural thing?
I think it's a natural thing. I think you can teach somebody maybe 3 or 4 mile an hour, but I don't think you can take somebody from 80 mile an hour and make him bowl 90 mile an hour. I think that's in there. An interesting conversation me and Mark were having a little bit earlier about Sam Curran and the way Sam Curran bowls now. He's, you know, his body's developing. He's got a bit bigger. He's 20 year old. His bowling action's becoming more consistent. I think when you do that, you then get a little bit quicker, probably, you know, 3-4 mile an hour. But I don't think, and Tudes will correct me here if from a coaching point of view, because more qualified coaching wise, but I think it's natural. I was naturally quick, and I think I got better, more consistent. The more I bowled, and the more as my body developed into my bowling action, and I think that's the difference. Your body develops into your bowling action, and I think that gets you 3 or 4 mile an hour. I don't think you can teach somebody to from 80 mile an hour to bowl 90 mile an hour.
Alex Studi, you coach kids. That's, you know, your main profession these days, so you're probably, you know, the best to ask. When it comes to kids, is there something that you can do to make them quicker, or is it a natural thing?
No, it's definitely natural. You can generally, when kids say, sir, I want to bowl quick, and okay, I'm not going to say anything. Run up and show me. And they'll run up, really aggressive, and then, like, the arm speed's all wrong, they collapse and stuff like that. So then I go through the sort of biomechanics of if you want to bowl fast. So anyone who bowls like Mark Wood's pace and Jofra's pace, you see that brace front leg, the hips. I always tell them about the middle, the core has to be strong. It's not so much how big and strong you are. It's like your twitch fibers, shoulders, getting that release. And you've got to want to do it. You've got to want to bowl fast because it's going to hurt your body. There's no time in bowling fast, and Goffey will tell you and Harmy, you're never 100% fit. And I learned that quite early in my career because a lot of people said to me, oh, he only wants to bowl quick when he's fit. But the late, great Graham Dilley always said to me, Chuge, you will never bowl 100% fit. And I learned that as I got older. So what I say to kids now is I give them the basics and I say, look, if you want to bowl quick, this is the way to go about it. I don't try and pigeonhole and get everyone to bowl exactly the same, which they try to do to us on the academy when they want us all to try and load up like Brett Lee. Another great coach of mine, Jeff Arnold, when he saw me trying to load up, he was like, Chudes, what are they doing? What are you doing? Do you see Kirtley Ambrose and Courtney Walsh? And he went nuts. And you just, you know, with fast bowling, it's the originality. You just want everyone to be slightly different. As long as they're not damaging their body as these sort of these mixed actions and whatever, just let them run in and bowl. Have some fun with it and just let the thing go. But everyone's like, oh, you've got to bowl line and length and stuff like that. If you've got a young lad, let him bowl quick. and then the rest will come as he gets older.
I remember that trip, Jude, the academy trip, and the guy, we were in the indoor school at Adelaide, and he's trying to get me to load up this way, and in the end, I just couldn't get it. And in the end, I just, me being forthright with my opinion, which I was a tearaway as a youngster, which has grown into an older tearaway, was I just looked at him and I said, look, man, I'm not being funny. I bowl at 91, 92, 93 mile an hour. I'm 6'5". I can make the ball bounce. If I've not got fully understanding where this thing's going, what chance has he got 22 yards away? So you're going to try and make me more accurate so I get lined up easier. No, I'm quite happy doing this the way I'm doing it, and let me become natural, because for me, fast bowling, and I mean out and out fast bowling, is natural. Show back to run up, natural. Brett Lee, you know, they say he was mechanical and he's loaded. He wasn't. That was Binger being natural. He was a naturally fast bowler. The same with Wakar and Wasim. Goffey was the same. It was naturally quick. This was something that come natural to an individual, Darren.
Yeah, I get the loading up, and I think, listen, all actions are different. And I think I look at my two sons when they were younger. I've got one who has an action like Steve Armisen, right? Probably because that's what he watched growing up. And I've got one that's got an action like me when they were younger. So they were totally, totally different, right? But they got the ball down as quick as they could possibly do with totally different actions. So that was good to see. That was weird having two sons who have totally different actions. But when it comes to it, when I first started, I was definitely someone who bowled low 80s. And I mean low 80s, 80, 81 miles an hour, looking to swing the ball. But that's probably down to I wasn't fit enough. I wasn't strong enough, and I didn't realise how fit and strong you had to be a fast bowler day in, day out. And I think what happened over the next few years during my journey as a fast bowler was realising how fit I had to be, getting miles in the legs, running. Secondly, upper body strength, because obviously I don't possess that natural height. I'm 5'11" on a good day. I'm probably down to 5'10" now as I've got older. But I definitely was someone who got better pace, but that was purely from exactly the same action as I've always had, but I just got stronger on a daily basis, and I just got naturally quicker through bowling overs and getting stronger and fitter. So that's where I found it from, and the way I look at it, and the reason they're saying it's naturally to find a fast bowler, I was part of an experiment many, many years ago with an athletics coach called Wilf Page, and every fast bowler, young bowler in Yorkshire and from around the country, they advertised for it, who wanted to bowl, they're trying to find a 95 miles an hour plus bowler. It was they did little bits of clips for it for TV, and not one of them came through that. And I'm talking that you should have seen the training they were doing there. The jumping, the weights, the heavy weights, the power lifting. And he was convinced, and this is because he was an athletic coach, he was convinced he could find England's next fast bowler. It never happened. It absolutely never happened. You got all these guys coming in different shapes and sizes, some of them huge, some of them small, some of them my height, some of Army's height, and not one of them ended up making it as a professional fast bowler. But it's not that easy.
It's natural in feel, and I'll go back to probably the most embarrassing moment I had on a cricket pitch. And if you don't get it quite right, you know, in the movements, it goes horribly, horribly wrong, and that's in Brisbane. And I talk of, you know, why Jofra only bowls 80 mile an hour, 82, 80 mile an hour, 84 mile an hour. Why is Jofra not bowling 90 mile an hour all the time? I used to get that as well. People say to me, why are you not bowling? Why is he not bowling 90 mile an hour? And if you do not get it right at the top, and you do not get it right sync, you know, and the feel right, it does go awry. And if it's not, if your wrist's not fully behind it, you know, if you're not driving through with your front arm, like Jude said, the braced leg position and the hips driving through, if you're not all in sync, then one, it doesn't come out properly. You know, it comes out, you know, a bit skew with. It doesn't come out anywhere near as fast as what it should do. So all this comes in with the mechanics of the bowling action and trying to bowl as fast as you can. And then flip out that a little bit further, then it comes with confidence. And you know, you talk about it, you know, all of a sudden, if you're in this game, especially, you know, Tom Curran and hearing the fascinating chat with the guys talking about bowling at the death, if you're not quite in sync and you're not as confident, you will not let go of the ball in time for the, you know, the action to be sort of rhythmical And once that goes, then your confidence goes. Once your confidence goes, you will keep a hold of the ball, and then all of a sudden your action's gone and doubt comes into your mind. And that, for me, all them have to be in the right order to make sure you're in the right position to let go of the ball as confident and in sync and as rhythmical as you possibly can. That's when you get to 90 mile an hour.
Jared, rhythm's the biggest key here, because some people have natural rhythm. Right? Unfortunately, I've got natural rhythm.
Are you going to talk about your dancing?
Yeah, you're your dance floor.
You haven't got natural rhythm, Army.
When you've got natural rhythm.
So for Army, everything had to be in sync as he's talking. For me, I wouldn't even have to measure up my run-up. I could still run from anywhere. I was lucky enough to have that natural rhythm. I had a decent run-up. So I think it all comes into place. He's talked about that braced front leg. I had that. That was natural. I had a strong front arm. You pull that through. So you had to have the muscles in your side. Otherwise, you just fall to bits. And then you had to have those fast twitch fibers where you could get through that shoulder, get through the ball, get round with your back and get a real good follow through. That's all the fast ball. That's not all that fast ball is. But when it all comes together, you would know as a fast bowler on a morning, when you're bowling in the warm-up through to the keeper, I want to bowl quick today. And it's a real weird feeling, isn't it, guys? Because some days you think it's a real struggle. The natural rhythm wasn't there as good as it normally is. But one day, as soon as you bowl through to the keeper, I'm going to bowl quick today. It's weird how you got that feeling.
No, it's definitely. And I totally agree. And I suppose I wasn't at the pace of these guys. I was sort of mid-80s, me, 85, 80, whatever. But when I bowled my quickest was when I wasn't trying as hard. There was many times when Adams either threw me the ball or Alex Stewart, and they'd be like, "Choose, I need you to bowl quick, I need a wicket." And I'd run in, and I'd be falling away, my hands weren't behind the ball, it's coming out at Nat's pace, I'm getting pulled, and I'm like, you know what I mean? But there was times when I was just relaxed, and they were just like, "Choose, just need you to bowl." And I'd just be nice and relaxed, and the ball be flying through, and I'd be all, and I'm not trying as hard. So that's why we say to guys, just relax, get your run-up. That's why we say run-up's important. I remember I played a game against Gloucester, and listen, I was lucky enough, Courtney Walsh was playing, and I said, "Great man, do you mind just watching me? Tell me what you think." And after he came to me, he said, "Look, Tubes, I like what I see, but your run-up's all one pace. You're not attacking the crease." And then from that day, I just said, "Right, I need to." He said, "Look, when you're 5 yards away from the umpire, you want to be attacking that crease and get through it." And from that day, it sort of hit home. And no one had really told me that before. And it's nice when you can bounce off, greats like that. And he had his word, and I'm forever grateful for that.
And it's amazing, though, Jared. You'd bowl a six-over spell, and you'd be absolutely knackered when things aren't going, your action's not quite right. When you're in rhythm, you could bowl 10, 12 overs and not feel as though you've done anything. And that's the psychological side of the bowling, the injury part of it that goes. But to simplify things for any young kid listening about the fast bowling, if you can keep as much as you possibly can in a straight line, you've got half a chance. And what I mean in a straight line is, don't go, and if there is kids listening to this, don't go off the line of your front foot lands in the crease. Go off the off stump of the off stump you're bowling at. So take a line back, and even if it's a bit of string, all the way back from off stump, all the way back through the crease, and then up to the end of where your mark is, and practice running in that straight line. Because what you'll do is, you'll run in that straight line. Even if you're running and practicing left foot, right foot, either side of the line, by the time you get to the crease, you'll be in sync with where your target is, which is around about off stump. And by the you look at where the ball looks to be pitching, you're looking for the ball to go on towards off stump. And that there, you can't go much wrong if you try and keep to the simple of that. Then you bring your wrist into play, where like Jimmy Anderson, swings it in or swings it away. And then you can move backwards from that. But that would be a good tell to try and get any young fast bowler that, if you are taking energy away, whether it's going, you're throwing your left arm out if you're a right armer, or you're jumping in off that straight line, then all of a sudden the dynamics of the bowling action will not work and not work in sync. And if you keep it as simple as going in a straight line, you've got a better chance, for me, guys, to bowl faster, because there's not a lot can go wrong if you're in a straight line.
Yeah, and I always say to the kids, listen, what's the fastest way? I talk about power. If you were going to punch or anything like that, it's straight lines. And Harmy's dead right. I said, if you're running a 100-meter sprint in a straight line, A to B, get there as fast as you can. And it's the same way when I say about run-ups. I get them in a margin, and I say just run up straight and follow through straight. And as Harmy says, not much will go wrong. And if a kid's got a good wrist, he's going to make that ball talk.
The only time you don't run straight is if you've been chased by a crocodile. Yeah. So he's right, and that's what you're going to do. But I think when it comes down to it, weight going forward as well on your run-up, and I think just from working with Mahmoud, you know, over the past year, he's but one of these things, and I watched him run up, and he's got a real strong action. He's good at most things he does. But just from watching him and seeing his run-up, he's but a lot of his weight was going back when he was running in. Now, if you can transfer that weight so everything, the momentum and everything's going forward, and you attack that crease, as T said, one pace run up, you want to start off and gradually build your pace so you're attacking and you've got momentum going into the crease and give yourself the best chance. And then on that day, when all that timing comes together, they're the days where you will bowl quick. It sometimes won't naturally be there. You'll be searching for it. There'll be something slightly off, whether it be you're not using your front arm enough, you're not following through enough, you're not attacking the crease enough. But when you do get it right, and it's a great feeling as a fast bowler when you do get it
right. It's the best feeling.
It's the best feeling in the world where you feel top of the world and you're bowling short balls and quick balls are flying through to the keeper and you can see that fear in the batsman's eye. It's, oh, I'd love to have them days again.
Well, thank you very much, guys. That was an incredible chat there. When we talk about this, a couple of years ago, Victoria kept producing pull rifle type bowlers, so 80 mile an hour type bowlers, and they literally just went out and found a bunch of 28-year-olds who were playing in club cricket who were bowling 90 miles an hour. Shane Harwood was one, Mick Lewis was another. They both went on to play for Australia, which does suggest that for all the weight training and all the fast, basically you can bowl fast or you can't, I think, at a certain level.
To be honest, you can go off of weight training, but and you talk about being injured and stuff like that. I did a fascinating chat with Simon Jones yesterday about after 2004 he never felt other than 80% fit when he was always worried about breaking down. I was the other way. I worked the theory that if you had muscles you got injured. I didn't go to the gym, I didn't try and build up. I was like Tudes were saying there, I was quite strong around sort of backside, quite strong around the core, and dynamic through the crease, and that for me was why I didn't get injured.
I always say you can get guys in the gym and you get them strong and they may be able to bowl quick, but it's longevity. If you want longevity in a game like these two have had, all right, muscles, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Like, I could tell you of some guys that look ripped and they're big and they're strong, 2 or 3 years, and they're done and they're cooked.
Yeah, just to quickly come in, because I know you want to go to a break, but Hoggard's listening and Hoggard's hammering us. He's just texted me, Matthew Hoggard is hammering us, and he's given us some stick about talking about being a fast bowler, but he bowled backwards, didn't he? So yeah, I had to stick that one in. Sorry about me. He was a spinner, Garen Goff.
Spinner Nari.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.